believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday. Happens to be the 20th of April, 2009. I appreciate everybody coming in, listening, tuning in today. I got 2aradio.com updated. On there is a letter. You can follow the link off of the main page. There is a letter that you can go to and copy and paste, add your name at the end, and send to your senators. On the same page of the letter is a link to find your senator's contact information. So you can send this email to them. Just add your name at the bottom. Essentially what it says is you would like them to not support the ratification of the CIFTA, I believe is the initials, treaty that Obama came out with last Thursday. And on last Thursday, when he came out with it with Mexican President Felipe Calderon, he said, we want to get the Senate to ratify this, which would essentially attempt to stem the number of guns going into Mexico. Obviously, that's not a big problem. I actually crunched the honest-to-God numbers, not just the percentages, the honest-to-God numbers for the two-year period in which the ATF was actually able to run guns. As it turns out, 5,114 guns in a two-year period were able to be traced to the U.S. out of 29,000 seized. That's 17%. What that means is on an annual basis, you're talking 2,557 guns per year. Far cry from the Mexico's ambassador to the U.S. that said 2,000 a day. We're talking slightly over that per year. And the vast majority of those came through the DCS program approved by the U.S. State Department and sent over to Mexico and other areas of Latin America, where then the falsified end user certificates were essentially crunched up and thrown away, and these guns were sold on the black market. Or they may have already been prearranged for these drug cartels. I mean, they've got a lot of money. So really, the way this works is you get this DCS, which is direct contract sales, or direct commercial sales, pardon me. DCS is direct commercial sales. A foreign entity, be it a government or a group, an organization, whatever, can apply to the U.S. State Department for these direct commercial sales of military hardware, weaponry, hardware, whatnot. You can get guns, missile launchers, grenades, all the things that Felipe Calderon says that they're confiscating, which come from America. And the U.S. State Department looks at it and decides whether or not, okay, yeah, thumbs up, we can sell you all of these things. So you can go to Colt or DPM or whoever these different manufacturers are in this country, and then they will compile all of the things that you want to buy that we've approved, and then we'll put all of that stuff together and we'll ship it to you through one means or another, be it ground or most likely through the water on an actual shipping container. Then they get it and are supposed to honor what's called the end user certificate. That's who's actually going to end up with all this weaponry in their possession. Once they get that, a myriad of things can go wrong. Well, at least wrong in terms of what we're talking about. They're not going to honor this end user certificate. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we return from the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's out
here to shoot me the little 2A. So once these foreign entities apply, be it, again, it could be a government, could be an organization, a group, whatever, the State Department looks and decides, okay, do we want these people to be able to buy weaponry from the United States? If they say yes, then they approve certain things. They may adjust the order of the desires, find out whatever it is. Then they make it good. They send the order off to get filled by U.S. manufacturers of things such as guns, grenades, missile launchers, rocket-propelled grenades, ammunition, what have you. All of that stuff gets sealed up. It all comes together generally in a port, goes onto a ship, gets sent off to another country. Let's say in this case, Mexico. Let's just say Mexico. So this makes the Mexican government or an entity within Mexico gets all of these arms, okay? Once it comes off of the ship, it can very easily go right down the dock and get set right onto another ship and sent off as kind of an international straw purchase, if you will. Or it can come off the dock and they take possession. Okay, we will honor this end user certificate. We said that this weaponry, all this gear is going to go to, let's say, the Mexican military, right? And we're all just using four instances here, folks. Let's say we're going to go to the Mexican military, right? Well, once they get possession of all of this weaponry, it's entirely up to them to honor this end-user certificate. Again, that end-user certificate states, we say that this group, this organization, whoever it is, this military outfit is going to end up with this weaponry. Okay. If they do not honor this end-user certificate, if it was falsified from the beginning, essentially these things are an absolute joke, right? We ask them, are you going to honor this end-user certificate? And this is generally their response. Yeah, we'll honor that end-user certificate. Not necessarily going to happen. It's entirely up to them. We have no international authority to go overseas to someone who we approve to buy arms and facilitate any sort of legal action or criminal action such as arresting them for not honoring the send user certificate. It's a contract. If they violate the contract, there's really nothing the United States government can do. So they take these guns and they oftentimes backdoor them, sell them outright to someone else. Or they say, oh, well, you know, the shipment wasn't filled, sir. We only got a third of the M16s. We only got half of the grenades and only a quarter of the rocket-propelled grenades, when in fact they're sitting in a warehouse a couple miles from the dock waiting on the real buyer to come get them. So this is how it works. So of the 2,557 guns for the average year of 2006-2007, of that number, we're trying to find out what the actual percentage is that came through these DCS, State Department, U.S. government-approved sales that were then backdoored out of here. So all of this hoopla, all of this garbage is over what amounts to be about 210, 220 guns a month. That's it. It averages out to about 220 guns a month is what they're trying to take our gun rights away for in this country to allegedly help what's going on in Mexico. Now, keep in mind, these guns in Mexico are already illegal. The market is flooded. So they took 29,000, all right? 5,100 of them came from the U.S., all right? So the other 24,000, where did they come from? So we're being asked to give up ours. Do you really think that if the 5,000 didn't make it in, the 5,100 did not make it into Mexico, that these drug cartels would have been able to make up that difference to get back up to the 29,000 mark through other means? The answer is yes. It works the same way that the criminal enterprise on the streets of the U.S. works here. If you want to go find a gun, and you're of a criminal mindset, you keep that sort of company, it's going to be rather easy to find illegal guns. Are they illegal? Is it illegal to do? Yes, all of it is illegal. If you have a felony conviction or a domestic violence conviction, you are not allowed to have guns. If you have a restraining order filed, basically in effect against you, you are not allowed to purchase guns. But people with these things attached to them that they tote around like a ball and chain aren't allowed to have guns, but they get them anyhow. Such is the case with the police officer who was shot and killed in San Francisco about 6 weeks ago. Same as the guy who shot and killed four police officers in Oakland, California, about a month ago. Same is the guy who shot up Virginia Tech. Now, actually, the real anomaly with the Virginia Tech shooting from a couple of years ago, that guy legally purchased that gun at a gun store. However, the system that the U.S. government put into effect in the what's called the Brady Instant Background Check, that failed. So the government failed the system. There's been, since the Brady background check has gone in, something like 1.7 million people have come up during that check and said, hey, you can't buy a gun because of this. You've either been deemed to not be able to have that gun to mental health issues by a doctor, or you've got a felony conviction, or you've got a restraining order currently on you, or you've got a domestic violence arrest. Those are generally the four major things. Well, this guy had mental health issues that should have shown up on this instant background check. It didn't show up, so the gun owner sold him the gun, a Glock semi-automatic handgun. He later used that in this Virginia Tech massacre. I think it was, 33 people? 35, 33, I think? He murdered. How could have that been stopped? Well, by an armed citizen with a gun. It's happened a few times. One of these guys that went into a church recently in the South, he was stopped by someone with a gun. A guy that went into a church a couple years ago in Colorado was stopped by a woman with a gun. I believe she had a 9mm Beretta. Here's the deal, guys. To try to outlaw guns at this point is like trying to outlaw vehicles. You're just not going to be able to get it done. There's too many out there. Do people drive with suspended licenses? Sure. Do people drive having never gotten a license? Sure. Do people drive without insurance? Sure. Do people drive vehicles that are not legally roadworthy? Well, sure. Yeah. All of these things happen, even though the operator of said vehicle knows it's against the law. So all we can try to do is enforce it. Trying to pass new laws for people who don't obey laws to begin with is an absolute waste of time. It's a total waste of time and energy. The only people who are going to follow laws are law-abiding people. Now, if you start to restrict rights so much, eventually law-abiding people aren't even going to pay attention to them, or a lot of them won't. So to try and pass this treaty so that Mexico won't have as many guns is absolutely asinine, because the majority of those guns are being shipped out of this country thanks to the U.S. State Department. Now, here's the deal with this whole DCS program. They have this kind of a blue lantern group. It's not a blue ribbon, it's a blue lantern. And this blue lantern organization within the DCS within the DCS program for the State Department, they look at different DCS sales. In 2007, they looked at over 650 of these. All right, well over 120 something or other were deemed to be unfavorable. 23%. As a matter of fact, I have it listed in this letter that you can copy and paste, so I should know this. So let's see here. In a 4 year period, 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007, in those 4 years, $1 billion in defense hardware was sold to Mexico. During the same time, An additional $3.7 billion was sold to the rest of Latin America. So just about $5 billion in defense hardware was sold south of the U.S. border into Mexico and Latin America. That is about $1.2 billion a year, $250 million a year just to Mexico. Now, you mean to tell me that the Mexican army is retaining all of this when they had, in this amount of time, over 150,000 deserters out of the military? Do you think they left their guns and other weapons? The answer is no. Do you think some of those were confiscated later by Mexican officials and the ATF traced those? The answer is yes. Are they trying to make us believe that these were straw purchase guns? The answer is yes. Were they in actuality straw purchase guns? The answer is no. Included in this $250 million a year average are semi-automatic handguns, revolvers, semi-automatic rifles. Not a bunch of them, but there are some. The rest, all auto stuff, explosives, grenades, rocket launchers, missile launchers, all of the things that Mexican President Felipe Calderon says are American-made, American-sourced, and they, in Mexico, confiscating these from the drug cartel. Interesting information, isn't it? Go to 2aradio.com, follow the link. I'll be back after the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
I read to you the letter which I drafted, which you can copy and paste and send off to your senators. Dear Senator, I am writing you today to voice my opposition to President Barack Obama's call for the U.S. Senate to ratify the Clinton-era Organization of American States Treaty on Firearms Trafficking, known by its Spanish initials as CIFTA. During President Obama's visit last week with Mexican President Calderon, President Obama falsely spoke of the alleged 90% of firearms confiscated from Mexican drug cartels as originating from the United States. He is certainly not alone in severely misrepresenting these percentages, as his cabinet members have been misleading the American public on this issue for months now. In the two-year period of 2007-2008, according to ATF Special Agent William Newell, Mexico submitted 11,000 guns to the ATF for tracing. Close to 6,000 were successfully traced, and of those, 90%, or 5,114 to be exact, according to testimony in Congress by William Hoover, were found to have come from the U.S. But in those same 2 years, according to the Mexican government, 29,000 guns were recovered at crime scenes. In other words, 68% of the guns that were recovered were never submitted for tracing. And when you weed out the roughly 6,000 guns that could not be traced from the remaining the remaining 32%, it means 83% of the guns found at a crime scene in Mexico could not be traced to the U.S., and only 17%, not the 90% claimed, were. So what do these 17%, where do these 17% come from? The U.S. State Department oversees a program known as Direct Commercial Sales, DCS, which allows U.S. companies to sell defense hardware to foreign purchasers, foreign countries, and private foreign organizations via a specialized export license. The U.S. State Department produces an annual report tallying the volume and dollar amounts of DCS items approved for export. Between fiscal year 2004 and 2007, the U.S. State Department approved over $1 billion in defense hardware sales to Mexico through the DCS program. That's 4 years of sales averaging over $250 million in defense hardware with permission of the U.S. government via the U.S. State Department. In the same time, an additional $3.7 billion in defense hardware was approved for sale to the rest of Latin America. ATF and Mexican officials have been forthright in admitting a heavy flow of weapons into Mexico through their southern border. The State Department issued a report for fiscal year 2007 from its Blue Lantern End User Monitoring Program, detailing these DCS sales and the monitoring of the end user or purchasers of this defense hardware. And that Blue Lantern report, the Blue Lantern report details that fraud is likely to have occurred. Of the 647 cases closed by the Blue Lantern Monitoring Program for fiscal 2007, a total of 123 were deemed unfavorable. That's 23% of the defense hardware approved by the U.S. government for sale outside the U.S. were later considered to be sold to fraudulent buyers who did not honor the end-user certificates they agreed to. Hence, it is internal corruption within the Mexican government and gun trafficking from Mexico's southern border and ports that provide the overwhelming majority of the illegal arms trade, certainly not through virtually non-existent straw purchases of American citizens from legitimate federally licensed gun dealers here in the United States. Even so, the total number of those guns is roughly 2,560 annually. That is most certainly not the 2,000 guns allegedly smuggled daily from U.S. straw purchasers south into Mexico, as claimed by the Mexico's ambassador to the U.S. President Obama is keenly aware that any standalone anti-gun legislation has very little chance of ever passing Congress and becoming law. Therefore, he is attempting to mislead the American public through carrying out this rampant misrepresentation and intentionally skewing the actual percentages of the firearms confiscated in Mexico from the drug cartels via any illegal acts by individual firearms purchased by American citizens. Additionally, as you know, a treaty cannot diminish the rights of the people nor alter the Constitution of the United States. President Obama's attempt to push this non-ratified and long-forgotten treaty through the U.S. Senate is simply nothing more than a backdoor gun ban that would stand no chance of passing Congress via a front-door approach. I strongly urge you to resist this matter even being introduced to the Senate floor. If it does come up for a vote, please respect the wishes of the majority of Americans and vote against the ratification of this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, folks, welcome back. I'm sorry, we've had some real technology difficulties here. The ISDN line isn't working. There were some storms around the RBN headquarters last week in Round Rock, Texas, just a little bit north of Austin. And the ISDN hasn't been working out of there since then, so we are on Skype. Now there's a computer issue, so I'm on option three, the telephone. Obviously the least desirable. However, we're carrying on through in the face of adversity. So go to 2aradio.com. Click here to fight Obama's anti-gun treaty ratification plan. That will take you to a page where you can select and copy this letter I just read to you in the last segment. Then you can click on a link that says, click here to find your senator. It'll take you directly to the U.S. Senate contact page. Once you're on there, you can then find your senator. We want you to send it to three people, three senators. The two senators in your state and Senate Majority Leader, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada, because he's the one who can really control who the heck can or what the heck can and cannot be introduced into the Senate for the most part. So that's what we'd like you to do. All right. Now, carrying on, a couple other issues when it comes to Mexico. In this case, immigration. I want to read to you some numbers produced. This was taken from the L.A. Times. 40% of all workers in L.A. County, and L.A. County has 10.2 million people, are working for cash and not paying taxes. This is because they are predominantly illegal immigrants working without a green card. 95% of warrants for murder in L.A. are for illegal aliens. 95%, that's 19 out of every 20 warrants issued for murder in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. 75% of people on the most wanted list in L.A. are illegal aliens. Over two-thirds of all births in Los Angeles County are to illegal alien Mexicans on Medi-Cal whose births are paid for by taxpayers. Nearly 35% of all inmates in California in the detention centers are Mexican nationals here illegally. Over 300,000 illegal aliens in L.A. County are living in garages. The FBI reports half of all gang members in Los Angeles are most likely illegal aliens from south of the border. Nearly 60% of all occupants of HUD properties are illegal. 21 radio stations in L.A. are Spanish-speaking. In L.A. County, 5.1 million people speak English, 3.9 million speak Spanish, and there are 10.2 million in the L.A. County. All 10 of the above items that I just listed, folks, are all from the L.A. Times. Less than 2% of illegal aliens are picking crops within the country, but 29% of all illegal aliens are on welfare. Over 70% of the United States' annual population growth and over 90% of California, Florida, and New York are results from immigration. 29% of inmates in federal prisons are illegal aliens. So we've been totally bamboozled. They're trying to say that we are bad for Mexico because allegedly you and I are and people like us are buying guns at gun stores and sending them across the border to drug cartels. When in fact, that's not happening. What's happening is the DCS sales we read about, I told you about, that's really where they're getting any American guns. And the vast majority of the guns, some 83%, are coming from other sources outside of that are not the U.S. The 17% that are, most of those are going through direct commercial sales approved by the State Department, as we discussed. The real problem that we've got are all the illegal immigrants coming into this country, causing all of this crime that we just talked about, bleeding a lot of the taxpayers dry. The one that really blows me away is 95% of warrants for murders in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. That absolutely blows me away, that number. It's baffling to me. Absolutely baffling. So, we have some other things to go over. How about this? Of your 535 members of Congress, 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71, let me repeat that, 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are currently defendants in lawsuits. and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the past year. Can you imagine that? 84 of the 535 members of Congress, that's the House and the Senate, have been arrested for drunk driving in the past year. Now, these are the people that we're trusting to do the right thing. The answer is no. We're not going to trust them. We're going to direct them. We're going to direct them through contact, through phone calls, emails, and letters through the mail to do what it is we expect them to do, as essentially being our servants and getting this country back on track. To have the president of this country outright lie to the American people and the world as a whole about U.S. guns in Mexico, and he has the Mexican president with him singing the same tune, there's something going on. There is some sort of agreement going on. All right, President of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, you lie about all this BS. We'll lie about all this BS. And if we get through what we want with gun control by all this lies, you're going to get this. We don't know what this is. There's been some sort of backdoor agreement made with the Mexican administration, the administration out of Mexico, to carry on with all of these lies. And with President Obama and his administration do the same thing. He's been doing it. Eric Holder's been doing it. Certainly Hillary Clinton has been doing it. All of these things have all been building up to try and take our guns. When in fact, as we've just showed you, we've just, through all these different official sources and reports, through the government and through testimony under oath in Congress, that is not happening. We know it's not happening. The administration, the Obama administration, and the administration out of Mexico both know this. However, they're carrying on. Some of you may have heard or even watched the 2020 episode a week ago Friday. I believe the date was the 11th, where they did the entire hour, with the exception of the very last segment, which is all basically a huge anti-gun bashing. They skewed so many things. I watched it online. As a matter of fact, I just watched it last night again. They did things such as take different students at a college and put them into a situation where they had a Glock that would fire essentially a paint marking cartridge known as simmunitions concealed. And then a trained police officer was coming in dressed as though they were a bad guy homicidal shooter, came in there, shot the mock professor, and started shooting these simmunition rounds at other people within this lecture hall, small lecture hall. And they expected these students to come out and fight. And these students had been trained. The police had trained them how to present the gun out, get on the sights, how to shoot. They had spent a few days doing this. However, they're also going up against a trained police officer, who one of their teachers. So somewhat of a skewed version. Most of the people who would go in and do something like this are not just they're certainly not a high-end kind of a SWAT-trained operative in most cases. You're not going to see this. They're generally nutbags with a gun that have some sort of whacked-out agenda, and they're not focused in on everybody they need to shoot once they get the first guy or two. Then it's just random. Well, so this went a little bit askew. However, it did demonstrate, well, the good thing it did demonstrate is you've got to have the right training. And the majority of the right training is not just with the gun in your hand and how to shoot. Folks, it is the mental aspect. Every day that I leave the house, I tell myself, today might be the day I have to use this gun to shoot someone in self-defense or defense of my loved ones. Every day I tell myself that as I put the gun on, as I walk out of the house. When I leave the studio at the end of the show, again, I'll tell myself, this might be the day I have to use this gun to defend myself. I am mentally prepared. I am not looking as Al Sharpton and a bunch of the other anti-gun crowd would think. I am not looking to use the gun. I'm looking to not use the gun. I'm looking to avoid trouble. However, if trouble is hell-bent and intent on finding me, trouble is in trouble because I'm ready. You will have unbelievable amounts of people who are anti-gunners, who think that the gun itself is the evil doer. The gun is not the evil doer. Like a vehicle is not the evil doer. It's the drunk driver, the maniac driver behind it, that's the evil doer. The evil person in possession of any inanimate object can do harm with it. Somebody could come into this studio and grab the microphone and start beating people with it. Does that make the microphone bad? No. Was the microphone intended for that? No. Some people say guns are built and designed for doing nothing more than killing. That's not true at all. Guns are designed to be shot. And certain guns are designed for certain things. I have a shotgun which is designed for shooting birds. And it does rather well. Could it shoot a person in self-defense? Absolutely. Could I put slugs in it and shoot a deer? Absolutely. Its intent is for shooting birds. I shoot clay pigeons with it. Go out and do the little pigeon tosser thing and shoot the clay pigeons and watch them explode. It's great. A clay pigeon, for any of you anti-gunners listening, is not a pigeon at all. It's not a living, breathing creature. Though I have no problem shooting living, breathing creatures, as long as I intend to eat them. Let's make that perfectly clear. I will shoot just about anything that I intend to eat and take it home and get that thing dressed up and, man, maybe add a little bit of spice. I'm a particular fan of a wonderful barbecue sauce to get out of a small place just outside of Tucson, Arizona. Wonderful stuff. Man, grill all that stuff up? Absolutely. Look at Ted Nugent. Almost everything his family eats is something that he hunted. Well, now, that's really the American way. I know a guy. He's a buddy of mine. He lives in the city of Los Angeles, Los Angeles proper. Pretty much the only meat that his family buys, he's got a wife and four kids and himself. The only meat his family buys is chicken. Everything else is stuff that my buddy goes out and hunts. He'll get a deer. He'll get an elk. He'll go pig hunting. He'll get goose. He'll get duck. He'll get all kinds of wonderful stuff. And he just continues to replenish the freezers at his house. He even used to dress pigs in his backyard when he had the time. Now generally what he'll do is he'll take them to a butcher and have the butcher dress them. So all of the meat in his family, with the exception of chicken, comes from stuff he went out and hunted. And he lives in the city of Los Angeles. He is a professional executive. Pretty cool, huh? I wish I had the time to be able to go do that. I don't have the time to go do that. I have the time to do very light hunting here and there. Anyhow, let's get back to this. So I do have some guns that were designed for defensive use. Gaston Glock did not design the Glock series pistol for competition shooting. He designed it for defensive use. He wanted it to be in the hands of every law enforcement and military professional in the world. He's done very well for himself with that design. I own, probably about half a dozen Glocks, different models, different calibers. Great gun. John Browning did not develop the 1909, which then turned into the 1911, for sport use. He designed it for defensive use for the military, and it works wonderfully for it. Armalite did not design the AR-15 back in the late 50s and early 60s for sporting use. Does it work for sporting use? Yes. Have they developed sporting competitions around the use of an AR-15? Absolutely. But its design is to be used in warfare, as was the Kalashnikov of 1947, the AK-47, and its later attributed the AK-74, chambered in a different caliber, designed for shooting in warfare. So, yeah, there are guns designed to shoot at people. There's also guns designed for long-range bench rest competition and for hunting large game, small game, medium game. I have an African caliber gun that's designed to go to Africa and shoot large game. Can I bring that meat back? I cannot. However, does that meat get used? Every ounce of it gets used to feed Africans. So I've got no problem with that. Now, I've not gone to Africa to use this gun to hunt. As a matter of fact, I bought this gun from the same buddy I told you about who lives in Los Angeles that feeds his family almost exclusively on the meat of the game in which he hunts. That is exactly what America is all about. This is the modern American frontier. Can you go out and feed your family on this? Yes, you can. He has an advantage that he has the gear, he has the time, and he makes enough money to be able to spend the time to go out and do this. Now, keeping in mind, he saves a bit on groceries being able to do this, but that's kind of soaked up in the travel expenses and processing of the meats. But anyhow, it's a great thing. You know he's not getting a bunch of additives, preservatives, and hormones in his meat. That's a good thing. He can't really beat that. When we come back, we're going to sew up the rest of the show. I encourage everybody to go to 2aradio.com, get that letter, send it to your senators. We must bombard them to keep the CIFTA treaty from being ratified and hosing you and I out of guns in the future. More when we return from the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Karnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to read this to you. Why do I own a gun? My old grandpa said to me, son, there comes a time in every man's life when he stops busting knuckles and starts busting caps. And usually it's when he becomes too old to take a whooping. I don't own a gun to kill people. I own a gun to keep from being killed. I don't own a gun to scare people. I own a gun because sometimes this world is a scary place. I don't own a gun because I'm paranoid. I own a gun because there are several threats in the world. I don't own a gun because I am evil. I own a gun because I have lived long enough to see the evil in the world. I don't own a gun because I hate the government. I own a gun because I understand the limitations of government. I don't own a gun because I'm angry. I own a gun so that I don't have to spend the rest of my life hating myself for failing to be prepared. I don't own a gun because I want to shoot someone. I own a gun because I want to die at a ripe old age in my bed and not on a sidewalk somewhere tomorrow afternoon. I don't own a gun because I'm a cowboy. I own a gun because when I die and go to heaven, I might want to be a cowboy. Very doubtful, but maybe. I don't own a gun to make me feel like a man. I own a gun because men know how to take care of themselves and the ones they love. I don't own a gun because I feel inadequate. I own a gun because unarmed and facing three armed thugs, I am inadequate. I don't own a gun because I love it. I own a gun because I love life and the people who make it meaningful to me. Police protection is an oxymoron. Free citizens must protect themselves. Police do not protect you from crime. They usually just investigate the crime after it happens and then call someone in to clean up the mess. Personally, I own guns because I'm too young to die and too old to take a whooping. The author is unknown, but quite obviously rather brilliant. Really quick, we have just a couple of minutes left. Mo on line one. Mo, welcome to the show. Mo is not there. Okay. Mo, call back tomorrow if you would, please. I'd love to hear what you had to say. We've got a number of things in front of us, folks, that we have already defeated. The National Park Service wanted to ban lead in the parks. We came together, and that's now gone. Department of Defense wanted to ban the ability to buy spent shell casings, once fired shell casings, to return them into the market, having reloaded them. We got rid of that. 65 Democrats wrote, the Obama administration said, do not put gun control on us. We have won that. Now, this treaty is what we need to work with. Go to 2aradio.com. By the way, you can get all of your links to listen live. You can download the archives for free. You can do all that good stuff. Go on there, get this letter, send it. Send it off to your senators. This is what we're looking to get done. We want to make sure that this treaty does not get ratified, that it would be a total screwing to us in the gun owning community. Thank you very much for spending your day with me. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.